Today's title is Prepare the Way for the Lord. Everyone living on our planet Earth cannot fail to see the great changes taking place today, both in the weather, in the land, and societies around the world, and the passing away of our dear monarch, Queen Elizabeth II, who was a stabilizing influence in her nation. She was steadfast and a stalwart of the Christian faith. Now the Queen has been taken from us, that position she held leaves a vacuum. She had an invisible presence which leaves our nation vulnerable to the spiritual forces around us. These changes will affect us all. We need to keep watch and adjust to what is happening around us. And we need to know why these changes are happening and what the immediate future holds. For the Christian living in such a time as this, we have the assurance, words to the song which says, He's got the whole world in His hands. In spite of what is happening, God is still on the throne. Corrie ten Boom, when talking about the persecution she endured, a member of the ten Boom family, who were Dutch Christians and helped many Jews escape the Nazi Holocaust of World War II, once said, There is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still. She was also quoted as saying, When a train goes through a tunnel and it's getting dark, you don't throw away the ticket and jump off. You sit still and trust the engineer. We need to know the security we have in God. Then in whatever situation we find ourselves, we can be assured He will see us through. Recently, I was reading a quote in the Scouts magazine about Baden-Powell. In 1907, Baden-Powell, an English soldier, devised the Scout motto, Be Prepared. He published it in Scouting for Boys in 1908. 2 years later, in 1910, the Boy Scouts of America was founded. In Scouting for Boys, Baden-Powell wrote that to be prepared means you're always in a state of readiness in mind and body to do your duty. More than a century later, preparedness is still a cornerstone of Scouting. Through its fun, value-based program, Scouting prepares young people for life. Notice how the initials for Be Prepared and Baden-Powell are the same. That's no coincidence, it's just the way Baden-Powell planned it. In the late 1900s, Baden-Powell wanted young people equipped to react quickly to an emergency. The Great War loomed. And soon the Boy Scouts, not a military organization but a service-minded one, would be called upon to play their part. Baden-Powell wasn't just thinking about first aid and wartime emergencies when he coined the motto, Be Prepared. This statement is from the 13th latest edition of the Boy Scouts Handbook. His idea was that Scouts should prepare themselves to become productive citizens and strong leaders and to bring joy to other people. He wanted each Scout to be ready in mind and body and to meet with a strong heart whatever challenges await him. We do not know if Baden-Powell was a Christian, but he was a God-fearing man. It is said that Baden-Powell was a Christian who believed that spirituality and a belief in God were an intrinsic aspect of the Scouting movement. He felt that religion was not just about studying scriptures, but a practical manifestation of loving one's neighbour and living an honest and compassionate life. Before we can know the protective shield and guidance of God, we need to become part of His great family, the Church. But we have to make that first move. The way of salvation is set out very simply in the daily devotion book called Word for Today, issued by the United Christian Broadcasting Society. Here is the daily reading. Have you heard of the Roman Road to Salvation? It's based on four simple steps found in the book of Romans. Step 1. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That is Romans 3:23 from the New King James Version. We're all sinners to the core, desperately in need of a Saviour. Step 2. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Romans 6:23. The gospel means good news. And here it is. All of your sins from the cradle to the grave have been paid for by Jesus. Step 3. While you were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. You can't earn salvation by good works. God gives it to you freely. All you have to do is receive it by faith. Step 4. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. 4. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10, 9-13. Does your life feel empty? Do you long for peace, to know your sins are forgiven, and you have a home in heaven when you die? Today, place your trust in Jesus and make him Lord of your life. Just pray these words. Lord, I surrender my life to you. Come into my heart. By faith I receive the gift of eternal life. Thank you for setting everything right between you and me. In Jesus' name, amen. It is so important we share this message of salvation at every opportunity. It is vital that we know the truth of the Bible and teach one another. One of the most vital tools in our conversations with folk to help them understand the Christian life is by giving encouragement. But there comes a time when we have to share the true facts of what is happening in life and pluck up the courage to warn folk what is happening on the horizon. A good father, a good teacher or manager, as well as showing care, compassion and love, will also point out dangers and how to avoid them. Recently, I was discussing the war in Ukraine with a Christian friend and asking some questions as folk around the world are asking. How will this war end? Will it escalate into a third world war? My Christian friend was not aware of what the Bible tells us is going to happen, and how what is happening in the current war is in line with the Bible prophecy, something we do not hear from our church leaders. If Russia realizes it is unable to fulfill its plans, unable to regain the land of Ukraine, it may be provoked into attacking the opposing nations directly. We will no longer be standing back and just being observers. Suddenly, we will become participants in this conflict. Are we prepared? Already, our country, the United Kingdom, is feeling the tide of trials being brought on us through the tumultuous rise in energy prices, which triggers a waterfall of trials and an escalation of price increases in every area of our everyday living. This war may seem to be somewhat abroad, distant from us, but is certainly going to affect us in a big way. With the eye-watering debt many countries are facing, how long before we see another financial crash? For myself, I take on board the motto of the Boy Scouts and Girl Guides, be prepared. What can I do to enable myself to be less reliant of the energy companies? 10 years back, we installed a wood burner, with a back boiler to heat the water. We also saw ways how we could be able to grow our own food and feed ourselves and become less reliant without having to visit the supermarket so regularly. Many folk living in towns do not have this opportunity. They cannot take these type of actions. Will we be in a position to help them? At the same time, we as God's children should take heed of what God said to Moses in Numbers 12, 6-7. Listen to my words. When there's a prophet among you, I, the Lord, reveal myself to them in visions. I speak to them in dreams. We have prophets today. God speaks to them in dreams and visions. What are they saying? Where in the Bible does it tell us what is happening and how will it play out in this age we are living in? This is what the Apostle says in Ephesians 5, 14-20. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God, the Father of everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible talks about watchmen on the wall, those who are watching and alert to what is coming. We read what God said to the prophet Ezekiel in Ezekiel 3, 17-19. Son of man, I am making you a watchman for the people of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked person, you will surely die, and you do not warn them or speak out to dissuade them from their evil ways in order to save their life, that wicked person will die for their sins, and I will hold you accountable for their blood. But if you do warn the wicked person and they do not turn from their wickedness or from their evil ways, they will die for their sin, but you will have saved yourself. God also prophesied to his servant the prophet Amos. We read in Amos 3, 6 and 7. When a trumpet sounds in a city, do not the people tremble? When disaster comes to a city, has not the Lord caused it? Surely the Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servant, the prophets. David the psalmist wrote in Psalm 2, the kings of the earth rise up, and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their chains and throw off their shackles. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. He rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain. I will proclaim the Lord's decree, he said to me. You are my son, today I have become your father. Ask me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possessions. You will break them with a rod of iron. You will dash them in pieces like pottery. Therefore, you kings, be wise. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and celebrate his rule with trembling. Kiss his son, or he will be angry, and your way will lead to destruction, for his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. As well as being prepared, we need to know the security of being protected by God. Let us remind ourselves what Jesus said when asked about the future. We read in Matthew 24:3-8. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. "Tell us," they said, "when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name claiming I'm the Messiah and will deceive many. You'll hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nations will rise against nations, kingdoms against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of pains." We cannot fail to observe and understand the dramatic changes in the weather patterns, the uprising of discontent around the world, the larger kingdoms setting up against one another. We're almost certainly seeing the time Jesus spoke of. Note what Jesus said: "All these are the beginning of birth pains." Jesus was saying it is like a mother giving birth. What is happening around us is only the beginning. The King James Bible describes it as the beginning of sorrows. Then when a mother has given birth, she soon forgets the pain and rejoices. We as God's people will need to brace ourselves as we pass through the birth pains of this age. Yet for the Christian, we can look forward beyond these things for greater things to come. As the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:6-10, "We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him, these are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God." Luke recorded what Jesus said about the last days in more detail. Luke 21:9-28. "When you hear of wars and uprising, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away. Then he said to them, nations will rise against nations, kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines and pestilences in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. But before all of this, they will seize you and persecute you. They will hand you over to the synagogue and put you in prison. And you will be brought before kings and governors, and all on account of my name. And so you will bear testimony to me. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves. For I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents, brothers and sisters, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. Everyone will hate you because of me, but not a hair of your head will perish. Stand firm, and you will win life. When you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you will know that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judah flee to the mountains. Let those in the city get out, and let those in the country not even enter the city. For this is the time of punishment, in fulfillment of all that has been written. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. There will be great distress in the land and wrath against his people. They will fall by the sword and will take a prisoner to all the nations. Jerusalem will be trampled on by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. People will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. Then at that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and great glory. When these big things begin to take place, stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. What Jesus said is so prevalent today regarding disputes, murders in families, kingdoms fighting one another, even changes in the heavens as well as the weather. Iran openly wants to see Israel completely destroyed. Anti-Semitism is on the increase. Israel is God's chosen people. Satan wants the nation destroyed. That is why in the last 40 years we have seen multitudes of Jews returning to their land, the land God promised to Abram centuries ago. We read in Ezekiel 37:21, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, I will take the Israelites out of the nations where they have gone. I will gather them from all around and bring them back into their own land. But then God gives us some stark warnings in Ezekiel, which we can see being played out today. Russia, called Magog, together with its allied leads, led by a strong leader, Gog, is going to attack Israel. In order for that to happen, there needs to be a road made ready for the marauding armies to travel towards Israel, having to pass through other nations' territories, such as Ukraine, Turkey, and Syria. We read what God said through the prophet Ezekiel in Ezekiel 38:1-7. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, set your face against Gog of the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. Prophesy against him and say, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, I am against you, Gog, chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. I will turn you around, put hooks in your jaws, and bring you out with your whole army, your horses, your horsemen, fully armed, and a great horde with large and small shields, all of them brandishing their swords. Persia, Cush, and Put will be with them, all with swords and helmets, also Gomer with all its troops, and Beth Kirgamah from the far north with all its troops, and many nations with you. Get ready. Be prepared. You and all the hordes gathered about you, and take command of them. After many days, you will be called to arms. In future years, you will invade a land that has recovered from war, whose people will gather from many nations to the mountain of Israel, which has long been desolate. They had been brought out of the nations, and now all of them live in safety. You and all your troops and the many nations with you will go up, advancing like a storm. You'll be like a cloud covering the land. God continues to speak in Ezekiel 38:14-23. Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say to Gog, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, in that day, when my people Israel are living in safety, will you not take notice of it? You will come from your places in the far north, you and many nations with you, all of them riding on horses, a great horde, a mighty army. You will advance against my people Israel like a cloud that covers the land. In days to come, Gog, I will bring you against my land, so that the nations may know me, when I am proved holy through you before their eyes. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. You are the one I spoke of in former days by my servant the prophet of Israel. At that time they prophesied for years that I would bring you against them. This is what's happening in that day. When Gog attacks the land of Israel, my holy anger will be aroused, declares the Sovereign Lord. In my zeal and fiery wrath I declare that at that time there shall be a great earthquake in the land of Israel. The fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the beasts in the field, every creature that moves along the ground, and all the people on the face of the earth will tremble at my presence. The mountains will be overturned, the cliffs will crumble, and every wall will fall to the ground. I will summon a sword against Gog on all my mountains, declares the Sovereign Lord. Every man's sword will be against his brother. I will execute judgment on him with plagues and bloodshed. I will pour down torrents of rain, hailstones, burning sulphur on him and on his troops and on the many nations with him. And so I will show my greatness and my holiness, and will make myself known in the sight of many nations. Then they will know that I am the Lord. If you would like to learn more about what Ezekiel has to say, I recommend listening to Christine Darg, who has a great love for Israel, who each week gives a half-hour TV message on what God is saying today. So go to the Jerusalem channel, X-Points TV, and look for the title, How Close Are We to the Ezekiel War? We need to know the guiding hand of God on our lives as never before. We need to know His voice. We need to be sensitive to His leading in order to stay safe as we pass through difficult times ahead. If you would like to listen to the devotion I've recorded, Guidance and Hearing God's Voice, you can go to my website and look for that title. We can be assured by what we read in Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam at the mountains, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done. The desolation he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shield with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The editor of Worthy Brief, an Israeli internet magazine, gave a dramatic personal example of God's protection. He says, when I initially moved to Israel, I was nearly in a bus bombing. It was an early morning. I was heading towards Hebrew class in 2004. As I was about to board the bus I normally rode, something within me prompted me not to enter that bus. It seemed that suddenly I found myself on another bus that actually dropped me off much further away from where I needed to go. But just as I was wondering to myself, why am I on this bus? The bus I normally rode blew up a mere 100 meters in front of me. What prompted me to stay off the bus? I cannot explain. But there's no doubt in my mind that the Spirit of God was responsible. The Holy Spirit saved my life that day. It is possible I could have ignored his prompting, boarding a disaster. I believe it was, but somehow I listened and obeyed the voice of the Lord. Thank God I was sensitive to it. Just like Israel in those days of Infarada, turbulent times are upon us. And while we may be hearing many prophet voices, prophetic voices claiming to be mediate God's word to us, we need to be able to recognize and be sensitive to his voice for ourselves. He promised to be with us and in us to the end of the age, and for many, he will give divine guidance and protection from disaster if we hear and obey his promptings. Let me close by reading the prayer of Paul in Ephesians 3:16-21. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is working with us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let us listen to the words to the hymn, O Jesus, I have promised. I like the words to the last verse, which says, Oh, let me see thy footmarks, and in them plant my own. My hope to follow duly is in thy strength alone. O guide me, call me, draw me, uphold me to the end, and then to receive me, my Saviour and my friend.